I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with my good friend, Jeremiah Stringer. Jeremiah, how are we doing on this fine Monday night at the end of the month of April, our last Monday of April?
Spring has sprung, my friend, and I think that everybody is out and they are enjoying, at least in my neck of the woods.
Oh man, I'm having such a good time right now. I did go back. I did go car camping this past week. I mentioned last week I was going to go.
Yeah.
And I went. The guy I was supposed to go with had a work issue pop up, and he wasn't actually able to come out with me, which kind of stunk. But I went out and I took my new Mountain Hardware Strato tent, Strato UL2.
I was really excited to get out there. I thought I saw some pictures, and I was like, that doesn't look like a six-man tent. I wonder if John changed it up and decided to go with some different gear.
Well, you can't set up the six-man tent with one person. Since I was going alone, I just brought the two-man tent, and I hadn't used it yet. It's a new one. I haven't used it yet. So I brought it out there just to try it out and realized as I was setting it up, it's not taped or seam sealed. And so I looked at the weather and it said there was going to be like a chance of maybe a few showers here and there.
Yeah.
So no big deal, right?
Yeah.
So I make my dinner, which was a delicious dinner, by the way, of Polish sausage, shrimp, peppers and onions. It's very delicious. Had my dinner, sat out. I was camped right on a pond. So I just sat there and hung out at the pond, relaxed, had a fire going. It was great. Decided to go to bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. I start hearing pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter. And that pitter patter starts to get faster and faster and faster. And I realize something's not right. So I get on the weather app and look, and I'm about to get hit with a huge downpour. So nice thing about car camping is you're parked right near your tent. So I literally packed up everything because I didn't trust that tent that I wasn't going to get drenched.
Yeah.
So 3:15 in the morning, I got everything packed up and in the truck, and I was on the road at 3:30.
Wow.
Driving home.
15 minutes.
So note for everybody out there, the Mountain Hardware Strato is not seam sealed or taped.
Wonder why they do that.
I don't know. You would think it's the year 2022 and everybody would just do that, but apparently that's not something Mountain Hardware does.
Well, I had to pay extra to get my Six Moons Designs Lunar Solo. I don't know how much it is now, but I think at the time the tent was like $200 and it was like an extra $25-$30 to get it seam sealed. I was like, man, there's no chance I'm going to do a better job than the makers of this tent at seam sealing.
Oh, yeah.
No chance. Because I know that some people, they'll try to seam seal them, and then you try to hang it up, and then part of it while it's drying touches another part, and then you got seam sealer on some other part of the tent that it shouldn't even be there, and it's either an eyesore or it's, you know, it's creating some sort of problem.
Yeah, I think you're on your computer audio right now, by the way, just so you know. I don't think you're actually on the microphone. Doc Watson put out here, for the price of tents, you would think that they would be seam sealed or taped. I agree. When you buy a tent that sells for $450, $500, you would think there's a good strong chance that that tent is going to be seam sealed or something. And they're not most of the time, which is really weird. Although my Gossamer Gear, the 2, is very much seam sealed.
Now, what?
You sound good now. You sound nice.
Thank you. So what is the name of that tent and how much does it cost?
It is the Mountain Hardware Strato UL2. It's a great tent, man. Like, it's lightweight. It's really big on the inside. Uh-huh. Really big on the inside. I sit up and I feel like I've got a foot above my head. Man. I mean, it's huge on the inside. It's great. But it's just not ready for rain. And I didn't think about it. And then I get home and I get online and I start looking at some of the reviews of the tent. There's a bunch of people angry that it wasn't seam sealed, and they got out in the woods and got destroyed.
Oh no!
In storms where all their stuff got soaking wet, and yeah, it just it's crazy, man. Jeff Peters, he commented to Doc's comment about the seam sealing. So that's 0.5 ounces too heavy, Doc.
And so we're on the live stream, and we are the guests tonight. And I want to talk a little bit about my trip that I took over the weekend too. But then I'd love to interact with people tonight and hear what they have to say and some of their questions and stuff. But I want
to, but before we get to it,
right,
something has to happen. And that is the fake news. It's back. We took a week off from fake news, but we are back this week. So Jeremiah, talk to us a little bit about your trip. I want to hear about this exciting northern adventure that you took.
Well, hold on. Let me
off. You've got three trips actually to talk about. You got a trip 2 weeks ago. You got this past week, and you got one coming up.
Yes. So
let's rewind 2 weeks and let's work our way forward.
Wow. It looks like I am getting a little bit of an interview here. Let's do.
Jeremiah, you're the guest tonight. You're the guest.
No, I saw your comment a few minutes ago as we were counting down to start the live stream. You're saying that I was the interviewee tonight. That's funny, man. We'll talk about it. I also want to mention for those people that have been listening to the podcast, it's not available on iTunes, but it is now on Spotify, the video version. So if you're just listening, I don't care what platform you consume the Backpacking Podcast content, but if you want to see the video version, now not only is it on YouTube, but it is also on Spotify. So you can check out that fake news ticker anytime you want.
Yeah, if you've been a listener for years and you've always wondered what the heck we're talking about when it comes to this fake news ticker, now's your chance. Get on Spotify and check it out.
I checked it out today. I was looking because last week was the first episode we've ever uploaded the video version to Spotify. And I went on there today, checked it out, worked perfect. And you know what came to mind? I was like, there could be a multitude of people out there, or maybe zero, I have no idea, that have never put a face to the voices on this show.
How many? Now they're going to see them and be highly disappointed.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, you have this idea in your head, and then all of a sudden, kerploof, that idea is gone.
Exactly. So, Jeremiah, talk to me about the whites, man.
Okay.
Talk to me about this trip up north that you and Mr. Backpacking with Jason Sir took, or as we like to call him, Backpacking with Dad.
Yes, and I start calling Backpacking with Bully on this trip.
I heard about that, man. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay. So, first of all, the trip videos never do it justice, but I had a lot of fun making a trip video for this trip. So, shameless plug, feel free to check that out on my YouTube channel.
And for people who are wondering, Jeremiah doesn't do trip videos. So this is like a monumental occasion in the history of Jeremiah's life.
I think I've done three in the past 6 months, maybe. I know I've done Colorado. That's been a while.
Colorado was over a year ago, man.
Yeah, see, I haven't done a lot. But anyway.
I think 6 months you have not done three. I'm just letting you know that.
I take a ton of trips, man, but
I know.
If it's not epic, then I guess I just didn't want to record it. But this trip was
some upset people, buddy.
Oh, they want to see the hair?
You're hiding the rock star hair.
I got a haircut coming up on Thursday. And
don't cut too much, man. Just trim it.
I'm going to do the Joe Rogan bald head shave.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna lose listeners and viewers because of that. You can't cut the hair off, man.
I'm just kidding. I put a hat on today. I rode my motorcycle to work, and so I wore a headband at work. So
there you go. Now you look like a rock star. There you go. Own it, man. Own that hair.
Just rock it. Okay. So Mr. Backpacking with Jason and I, we took a flight from Cincinnati to Boston, rented a car, and drove up to the Whites. And we took a three-day, two-night adventure, but I think we were gone for like 5 days with the travel and everything. And, dude, we started from the car, and it was like normal, everyday Kentucky weather. And then we ascended for like a mile and a half. And then all of a sudden, we started getting into these little sheets of ice. And I had to put on my micro spikes, which didn't fit whatsoever. And if you look at the video, they are stretched so far around the edge of my shoe. So Justin, his YouTube channel is It's Good in the Woods, and he lives in New Hampshire. So he let me borrow some gear, and one of those pieces of gear was micro spikes, or were micro spikes. And he is
having a hard time right now, man. Micro spikes.
He's not going to do me like that. Micro spikes. How's that?
There you go. That's great.
So I put them on, and his were just like, you put them on, and there's like a red rubber part on the ones that he had that go around the top of your shoe, and it may be micro spores. And that's more like it. So his were like, it had slack in the bottom. They were, if you picked a shoe up, they were kind of dangling below where all the chains are hooked together to the red part. Mm-hmm. Mine didn't fit. Like, I couldn't pull it around the top of my shoe. It only would fit around the edge of my boot. And so they come off a few times, had to keep putting them back on, but they did. Dude, I'm going to get some, because when we go like winter backpacking around here, especially down in Big South Fork, you get a lot of those cave areas, a lot of icy areas. It's so icy, and you literally can't walk on the trail. You just can't. So anyway, yep, we went there and set up camp, and then the first day was the best weather. So we're like, let's summit Mount Lafayette. So we started hiking after we set up camp and made it all the way to the top of Mount Lafayette, kind of. We still had like another, I don't know, 300 foot of ascension. And there was a storm rolling in. You could see like the clouds and the snow just coming towards you.
Yeah.
And they were giving snow at like, I think 4 p.m. and it was like 15 to 4. So we decided to not go all the way up, especially since there's like a 50, 80 foot just sheet of ice going up to the top. And the only thing to stop you if you slip on the way back down was just the rocks at the bottom. So we're like, the view's not going to be any better up there. So
the view's a whole lot worse as you're falling, from what I hear.
Oh, well, I had to take your word for it, because I didn't feel safe enough to walk up there. Justin, he went quite a ways on up there. And Jason and I were like, yeah, I don't know, man. So we decided to just stay there. We hung up there until the snow came in and checked out the views till they were gone. And then we descended back to camp and then summited a different mountain the next day. Found this canister just on a tree at the top of that mountain, and figured out how to unscrew it and signed our names in a little journal in there. And then the next day we flew back. There's a whole lot more that happened, but we can get into whatever details you want or not.
All I know is that you're getting some comments on here. Somebody said you probably left your merch at the trailhead.
Hey, we have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow.
We do. We've got the GoNex Ginger Rocket. Now that's a new name. I like that. I like that. You're getting the love today, man. You are definitely the guest. Now say vestibule.
Vestibule.
It gets better every time, man. It gets better every time. And then when are you guys going to get Jupiter Hikes on here? I know we have been in contact with Jupiter. It hasn't worked out yet, but it is definitely coming at some point. So apparently, if you see the video when Jeremiah removes the red micro spikes, they look like red underwear tongs.
Well, I don't know what to say to that.
I'm going to have to watch the video closer, because I didn't catch that, but maybe I wasn't paying enough attention there.
I will say shout out to Pierre.
Yeah. 1:50 in the morning right now.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. He sent me a message, like a DM on Instagram. And he's like, is there a show tonight? Because usually when we have a show, like during the day, we'll put out a little graphic saying who the guest is and that kind of thing. Follow us over on Instagram, the Backpacking Podcast. So yeah. I don't think you know if there's a show or not.
Well, and we had a guest who was lined up for tonight, but they're in the middle of hiking the Appalachian Trail, so we knew it was kind of hit or miss if it was going to work out, and it didn't quite work out that we could get him on here tonight. So you're stuck with me and Jeremiah instead. So
yeah, that's okay.
Now, Jeremiah, I have to tell you something happened to me on Friday.
Yes.
So, you know this because you live an hour south of me. It was uncharacteristically hot here in Kentucky. Like, it was 81 degrees.
I know, man. The sunburns are real. Let's just say
My neck right now, I've never been as redneck as I am right now. And it's not because of, like, how I talk or act. It's literally, my neck is bright red. But
hard.
I decided to go on this hike. And I went out to a place I go all the time called Shaker Village.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Shaker Village is there's no shade. Like, you're just basically hiking out in the sunlight, right?
Did you get you one of those giant straw hats?
Bro, I wish I would have had one. Because I went out there and hiked about 6 miles with the sun and no breeze the whole time. 81 degrees.
That's scorching hot.
By the end of it, I hated my life. I was just like, this sucks. I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've done in a long time. I could have gone hiking anywhere and been fine, but I picked the one hike. And it's the only hike out there that's like that, too. It's the hardest hike they have out there. Man, I was done. Like, I got done at the end of the day, and I was just done. I was like, man, I don't like hiking in heat. I don't know about you. Like, I don't like hiking in hot weather. Like, when it's, like, 80-plus degrees, that is not nearly as much fun as, like, 60.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, I went backpacking this weekend. Not just a hike, but I full on with the backpack and everything. And my back immediately was sweating.
Yeah.
Immediately. And I set out like pretty early in the morning before it got too hot. And dude, by I think 1 o'clock, I had hit 10 miles and I was burning up.
Yeah. Where were you at?
Here's what was supposed to happen. I was supposed to go backpacking too. But the person that I was going with, something came up, and I was like, well, I was going to this location, and now I'm not going. Maybe we can do that one a different time. And as you know, I've been section hiking the Sheltowee Trace.
It's interesting you say that. Somebody was just asking, Jeremiah, when do you plan to finish your section hike at the Sheltowee Trace?
Oh, well, look at that. I can answer that question right now. I don't know. I plan on... just keep on section hiking it. Right now, where I just started at was like mile marker 152 or something like that.
You're right at the midway point, real close to the midway point.
Yeah, I'm a little bit past the midway point. Now I'm at like 136, I think. I'm over basically just north of McKee, Kentucky.
Okay.
The Sheltowee, for those that don't know, it runs from basically – the border of Kentucky and Tennessee, a little bit into Tennessee too, all the way up to northern Kentucky. So it runs nearly the length of the state through Daniel Boone National Forest. So I'm a little over halfway. It's like 350-ish miles, maybe a little less. Maybe depends on the day that you do it, I guess.
Yeah, then we'll get to be Sheltowee Brothers.
Yes, once I get there.
Yeah.
So I was hiking it, and at that last second change of plans, I was like, maybe this is a little bit of a blessing in disguise because now I'm flying solo. And I don't know about you, but when I'm solo, I need a purpose. Because if I'm with friends, I don't need a purpose whatsoever. No. I could literally just sit there and camp and hang out,
yep,
and eat and be merry. But whenever
I need a goal, I need a goal when I'm by myself.
I have to have a goal. So yep. I actually, I had set out originally, let's see, I got off work, come home, and left, and then I got in 4 miles. I think I got there at like 6 o'clock or so, 6:15. I started hiking, and now it gets dark so late. You can get in a few miles even after work if you get off 3 or 4 o'clock. So I got in 4 miles, and then set up a stealth camp. Let me know in the comments if this has ever been you. You're like, well, I don't know if there's going to be a camp spot, so I guess I'm just going to make this one work. And then you pack up the next day and you start walking and you make it about 2 minutes into your hike. And you're like, what? The Garden of Eden was literally 2 minutes down.
That's the whole Sheltowee Trace, man. That is the whole Sheltowee, because they don't really give you a good idea of where campsites are. Uh-huh. And there aren't a lot of them. There's very few campsites actually on there.
Yeah.
But there are a few that are like amazing. Well, there are a few that are awesome.
I just decided to make it work. I was like, the sun at this point, it was about 8 o'clock. And when you're down in those hollers, the sun is basically just gone 20, 30 minutes before actual sunset.
Yeah.
So I decided to just make it work, but I really wish I had kept going because there was an oasis just down the way. But that's okay. Got up the next day, hiked my 10 miles, had Bridget come pick me up. It was the hottest part of the day. I just finished up my hike, decided to set up my hammock. I told her, I was like, I'll see you between 1 and 1:30. She misheard me a little bit, so I had a little bit of time to kill before she got there and shuttled me back to my truck. So I set up my hammock and just lounged. Well, I tried to nap, and I originally set up one side on a light pole, which may be illegal, and the other side on a tree, and the shade was covering me. And then after about 15 minutes, I bet it was 100 degrees in there. I just laying there sweating. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's just too hot.
Yeah, it's hard in the summer around here. Like that, it was just, and the thing is, usually April, May is really nice. It usually gets into the 70s. You don't get those 80 degree days often. So like this weekend, man, it was just hot. Like it was just hot this weekend.
Yeah, I bet the gorge was packed.
I guarantee it. Guarantee it.
But you couldn't find a parking spot all day Saturday.
Well, I know where I'm going this weekend is supposed to be pretty, it's probably gonna be pretty packed. So hoping to work it out that I can enjoy that. I'm actually gonna be hiking with Taylor from Southern Hike.
It's a good guy, man.
Yeah, dude. He's a good dude. We're both going somewhere we've never been, so it should be fun.
I'd love to hike with him again. And I actually had told him, you know, sometimes he backpacks with his girlfriend. Or not his
wife?
Yeah, his wife.
If he's got a girlfriend, his wife's not going to be very happy about that.
I meant his wife.
He's not Will Smith.
He went there. He went there.
Just don't slap me in the face, man. Okay. What's that?
I told him that I would like to put a little trip together, maybe next fall. He was talking about possibly meeting up in the Smokies, and then me, him, and our wives could all do like a little couples trip. I think that'd be fun, and Smokies might be a good in between place. Because,
now let me know where you're going to go. I've got a great place you can do that's not too bad that like Bridget wouldn't mind hiking.
Okay, perfect.
So, hey, Kentucky Hiker put on here, the official mileage is at 343. I hiked it last year, and it's probably closer to 350. Most people I've talked to have hiked it since they added the extra 10 miles on the Kentucky Trail have said that it's closer to 350, and they're adding another section. So the South Terminus is actually going to be further south. So that's getting changed here real soon, too. When I talked to some people from the Sheltoy Trace early on, the plan is to hopefully make it a major long trail. Like it'll probably be 30, 40 years from now when it happens, but they're talking possibly doing from the Gulf of Mexico up to the Ohio River, or not the Ohio River, the Lake Erie, up to Lake Erie.
Wow.
So that would be a massive trail if they get it that far.
Yeah, dude. And you know what else? That I feel like that would also help Eastern Kentucky, you know, because like what? One thing about Eastern Kentucky, there's no interstate running through there. So
no.
If you had a long trail, that might bring a little bit more, at least small bump to the economy around those trail towns, because it's hard living out there.
It is. They have a lot of dogs, though.
God, dude, they got a lot of dogs. And, you know,
and you're about to hit a lot of those dogs, man. Yeah, you haven't hit Heidelberg yet, have you?
No, dude.
I can't wait for that. I can't wait for those stories, man. All I'm going to say is bring some pepper spray.
Yeah, pepper spray. I think some people carry guns.
I didn't carry a gun, but I definitely carried pepper spray, and I used it. So
I have bear spray.
That might be overkill.
Well, I'm afraid that it'll blind a dog.
Yeah, I didn't actually hit the – I think when I hit the dog, I popped it just on the nose. That was enough.
Yeah.
It was gone.
Scared it off. I did a ton of road walking, man.
You haven't even hit Heidelberg. Heidelberg's the biggest road walk on the whole thing.
I felt like I walked either on gravel, or I didn't realize how much off-roading there was around that area, like around McKee and that whole Jackson County area over there.
Yeah.
Dude, so many side-by-sides out. I mean, there's full parks dedicated to it. And I was like, I feel like I've either walked a gravel road, blacktop, or one of these dirt, you know, off-roading trails literally the last 15, 20 miles.
Yeah, they're working really hard to get people to let them put trail through their property. The problem is a lot of the Daniel Boone is owned property. Like, people own property in the Daniel Boone National Forest. And yeah, you're not allowed, they won't let people put trails on their property. So they have to route it out to the road so it goes in between different people's property and it doesn't tick off people. And there's some people that live off, like live along the trail that don't like hikers.
Well, you know,
it's an interesting hike, man. Like, it's not your Appalachian Trail. Let's put it that way. No. There are people like just all excited. Hey, there's the AT hikers. It's not that. It's like, well, it's a little different.
I think that people value their privacy, but also, I mean, that's a deep woods of Kentucky, man. Yeah, who knows? It's lawless out there. You got no idea what's going on. I probably wouldn't want people on my property either.
Yeah. No. Although did I tell you about the pig?
No. Wait. Tell me about the pig.
So I'm hiking. It was where was it? It might have been part of the Heidelberg hike. I was hiking on the road and I was coming south towards Heidelberg at the time. I was yo-yo hiking. I was all over the place when I did it.
Sure.
But I'm hiking down to Heidelberg, so I'm going to meet my family. There's a like a park there in Heidelberg that had a playground. And so my wife met me there with the kids, and we had 4th of July lunch at the park, and the kids played. But I'm hiking down, and I get by this house, and I look over in the yard, and there's this couple there staring at this pig. And it's a huge pig. And I'm like, nice pig. And they're like, yeah. Do you know who it belongs to? I'm like, no. They're like, this random pig just walked into their yard.
Who's massive? Pig?
They didn't know. I didn't know. But there's just a huge pig in their yard. And they were just totally confused. So
that's ridiculous, man. You never know what you're going to see over there, around there. I did want to say real quick, Jeff asked which backpack was causing my sweaty back on my weekend trip this past weekend. The backpack I was using was the Gossamer Gear Mariposa. I think I have the 60 liter. I'm pretty sure. Maybe it's 55. I can't remember. But I also add this, Jeff, every backpack, every single backpack that I have gives me a sweaty back. Even the Osprey. It doesn't really matter.
Thinking about backpacking makes Jeremiah sweat.
Well, I'm telling you, dude.
You're a sweaty dude.
I don't think I'm that sweaty.
Oh, you're sweaty, dude. It's great. You're sweating right now. I can see it.
I think that, well, I might be sweating right now. You know, I had the AC guy, the HVAC guy come today.
Oh, yeah?
This room that I do my filming and editing and all that in, our little office area, it hasn't had heat or air since I moved in here. So now that it's getting summertime, and you get the 70, 80 degrees. This is upstairs. It's time to fix it. So
you know where I am.
Oh, I know you're in the professional studio.
You've been in the professional garage of mine. You know how hot it gets in the summer.
People don't know, man.
Yeah.
We put in the work.
The multi-million dollar studio is being worked on right now. We're working on it. You know, we're about 27 years away from having the money to build our studio, but we're gonna tough it out till we get there. So, hey, Jeremiah, we got a question for you.
Okay.
Is there anywhere in Kentucky you can target trout, stocked rivers or ponds?
I'd say over by the dam, Wolf Creek Dam.
That's about the only place I could think of.
They stock it, but I don't
it's trout. It's mostly bass fishing in Kentucky.
Yeah, a lot of lakes. Not, I mean, there's a ton of trout fishing too, but I'm not an insider on that. So there's not a whole lot of knowledge I can offer on it, unfortunately. Bass fishing, though, I can tell you what's up. I grew up on Lake Cumberland.
Oh, there's a lot of good fishing on Lake Cumberland.
There's fish in that lake.
And there's farm ponds everywhere that people stock with bass.
You know who's got some giant bass?
Mr. Backpacking with Jason, sir.
Backpacking with Jason, sir, dude. His pond outside his house?
Yeah.
Massive.
You know, another thing that there's a lot of in Kentucky is really good catfish.
Yes, dude. One time we were jug fishing. You know what that is?
Yep.
So if you don't know, you basically tie a jug to a string with a hook and, you know, bait on it and you just leave it there. I don't remember what the state law is. I haven't done it in years. I think that they can only be in the water for so long. You know, it's like under 12 hours or something. And you leave those floating out there. You come back the next morning and grab those suckers up. And if it's bobbing up and down, you probably got a big old catfish on the line. Dude, we caught one. I mean, it was in the 20s. I can't remember. Maybe 25 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
This is a, for some people, this is a baby, I guess.
Is it a blue cat?
I don't know what it was. That I was in college at the time, I think. So that's
okay. Been a while.
That's probably 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we used to go to this place up in Harrison County. They called it Mouth of Cedar. It was a big cedar tree that grew out in the middle of the river. And so it was like a fork. And there was a little area where that was got real deep.
Uh-huh.
And what we'd go is we'd take chicken livers and stuff and seed it the night before.
Uh-huh.
And come out the next morning, there'd be just a pool of catfish there. And we would just pull them out like 3-4 foot cats, just like they were nothing. It was awesome.
You eat them?
Yeah, you eat them. Oh my gosh. Catfish is the best fish on the planet.
I was asking if you eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, man. I think they're great.
Yeah, dude. I love catfish.
Some hush puppies.
Oh, man.
Now you're talking my language.
Man. Someone says they stock Bark Camp with trout.
I didn't know.
Cane Creek also for trout.
Creek, that sounds really familiar.
Yeah.
Barron River Lake. I used to live over in Bowling Green whenever I was going to WKU. Barron River Lake.
That's a good one too. Okay, I got to answer Doc Watson's question here. Been noodling. I don't do noodling.
Tell everybody what noodling
is. Okay, so noodling's basically you'll find a place where like a cat is back inside of it and you reach your hand under. And you actually grab the cat from inside of its mouth and pull it out. And that's the quick, easy version of it. But there's people, that's how they go catfishing. I have no interest in doing that.
Isn't that crazy, dude? Diving down sometimes fully submerged, head underwater.
A buddy of mine did it, tore his arm up.
Oh, I bet.
Because he has little barbs on their mouths. They don't have teeth, but they have little barbs. And like tore his arm up. I was like, yeah, that's no fun. I'm good. I don't need to do that.
Let them bite it and pull them out.
Yeah.
Wow, man, it's not for me.
Not my thing. Hey, Miyagi's up here. What's up, Miyagi? Yeah. Trying to catch up on some of this stuff on here. I think Taylor and Rachel are having a baby now.
Wow, congratulations to them.
Look at that.
That means I'm going to be canceling my hike.
I don't know, man. Like they say, if it's something that you're already doing, not to stop doing it. There was a woman that broke a powerlifting record and then had her baby the next day.
Well, that sounds absolutely insane. But a baby the next day? Probably because she's in the day before.
Yeah. Jeremy, I do want to talk to you about something.
Yeah.
And somebody actually brought it up in the question. I'm not going to, it's way back in there. But I want to talk to you about this new trend that I'm starting to see among tent makers. They're starting to make longer tents.
Oh, that's good news for me.
They've started making longer tents. And I just saw that Big Agnes just came out with a version of the, what is the tent called? I sent it to you earlier today. Do you remember what it was called? Was it the Copper River? That's not Copper River. That's a restaurant here in Kentucky. That's a good restaurant. The Copper Spur is like a long tent. It's like 93 inches long or something like that.
Can we pull that up on here? Is that possible or not?
Yeah, I'll look it up while we're sitting here talking. But I saw that and I sent you the text like, you got to check this thing out. Because I was like, you're always complaining about how tents aren't long enough.
Uh-huh.
And I was just curious, like, if you had even noticed that tent before. So
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
No, I never have even heard of it, but Big Agnes. They're the ones that make it. We were talking, I think, last week, weren't we, about Big Agnes and what was that? It wasn't the Copper Spur. It was, I don't remember. Anyway, they make good tents. So I'm more than happy to check this out.
Here, let me bring it up real quick. I'll share it with you here and let you see it. But
okay.
I thought this was a pretty cool tent. I was just like, to me anyways, I thought it was pretty awesome. Let me make this full screen so it actually shows up all the way so you can actually see it here.
Okay.
But this is it right here, man. That's not it. There we go.
Does it have it does have poles, right?
Yep, well, that's the Mountain Glow. That's not even the right tent.
Yeah, I need
it's the where is it? HB. That's why I keep clicking on the wrong things because their thing keeps moving.
The Copper Spur HVUL2 long.
Yeah, and it just changed again. I hate pop-up things on websites. Like every time I go to click on something, it moves. There it is right there. It's new for 2022. $530.
Will it let you zoom in on that? Or like click the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. So it looks like a standard tent. And it looks to me like the walls are a little bit more vertical because some people, they make tents that are long, but then the walls are so slanted that it doesn't really matter how long it is, your feet are going to touch.
Well, and if you look, here's the head end right here. And it's almost completely vertical, which for a guy like you is awesome.
Yeah, and it tapers and it's double walled. So you got the inner and then
And they got that huge pocket right here. Backcountry Exposure, Devin did a video today on the Copper Spur and comparing it with I think the Telos from Sea to Summit. And one of his comments was about this big pocket at the end of the Big Agnes and how it's great, especially if there's two of you to get stuff up off the ground. So there's more room in the tent.
You can never have too many pockets in those tents.
Yeah, but here's the thing about it, man. Like, let me go down to some of the specs on this thing. Let's go over here and look at this. Okay.
Trail weight.
Look at this right here. 90. I was wrong. It's 96 inches, man.
96 inches long, 52 at the head wide, and 42 at the feet wide.
Which I think is dumb. I don't know why tents do this.
Why?
Why would you just not make it 52 and 52? So if you have two 25-inch pads, they fit.
Because you got to
make it difficult for people? Yes. No,
you have to taper it so you can shed weight, man. Nobody wants to carry that extra 2 ounces.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yes. I would carry the 2 ounces all day long, but I don't think that Big Agnes is whoever is their designer on this. I think that they're trying to shed weight would be my guess. Wouldn't you?
I guess, but I notice every tent does it. Like, more and more people are using the rectangular sleeping pads now.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I prefer it because
it just makes no sense to me when you look at this. And I mean, you got 43 inches of height, which is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a height. Oh. That's a really good height. And the length is insanely good. But man, if you could just make the end 52 inches on both sides, that would be just 1,000 times better.
You'd have to engineer it different though, I think a little bit. Maybe you just have to change the sew positions of where the poles are, the attachments, you know, that you snap the poles into. Probably have to put those in different places, but it shouldn't be too hard because you're already kind of designing that from scratch anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said the Lionheart or Lightheart gear makes long tents. I know they've got the So Long is one of theirs that they have.
But that one is not freestanding, right? I mean, that is still a great tent. Yeah. I saw one whenever I was doing the Foothills Trail and I was like, this is a big tent.
I didn't get a So Long, but I almost got one of I think it's called the Solo is the regular one. I almost got one, but it's so like angled at the ends.
Yeah.
When you go to sit up, you almost always hit your head. And at least that's what it seemed like to me when I was looking at it. And I like this because of the vertical walls on it. I mean, seriously, like if we can get back to that picture, let me see here. If it'll let me, there we go. But I mean, I love that vertical wall. That right there. I mean, come on. That's awesome.
You ever seen Camera Conspiracies, the YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know his whole YouTube, that whole YouTube channel is dedicated. It's comical, but it's dedicated to finding the perfect camera. Right.
Right.
That's the whole premise of the entire channel. Let me find the perfect camera. Perfect price, perfect weight, perfect durability. Got to have a flippy screen, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think that I'm not going to make it, but we need a YouTube channel dedicated to the perfect tent because I don't think it exists yet. I'm not sure it can exist because you can't have everything. You can't have a sub 1 pound freestanding tent that's 85 inches long and 50 inches tall, and it's rectangular at the top and bottom.
Yet.
Who's going to make it?
I don't know, but did people think 15 years ago that we would have sub 1 pound tents that are made of a material that's stronger tensile strength than steel?
Well, how long has Cuban fiber been around?
12, 13 years? Has it been more than that now? At least for tents and stuff. Speaking of tents, I want to throw this up there. You have this tent.
Oh, that's the
Duplex L.
The Duplex L, yeah. And that tent is legit, man. I still am planning to make a review video on it. But there are some improvements I would make to it. That's a Dyneema tent. I think it weighs 20 ounces, but it's a two-person, so really one person comfortably. But if I was doing like a trip where I didn't want Bridget to have to carry anything, I would try to squeeze us both in there.
Yeah.
You got measurements on that?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. The floor width is 44 inches.
Can you zoom in just a little bit more?
Not really.
Oh,
that's okay. That's about as big as I can get it, man. But 40, it's 48 inches height, which is a huge peak height. It looks like the floor width is 44. The floor length is 8 feet. So, and then the entry height is 36 inches.
The floor length is 8 feet. What?
That's what it says, man. Is that wrong?
I don't know about that statistic there.
Uh-oh.
8 feet.
8 feet is what it says, man.
Maybe if you didn't have a bathtub floor, it might be 8 feet, but I don't know. I'm not buying it, but I'll measure it whenever I've set mine up and do the video and stuff.
Well, I mean, you're 7'11", so that only gives you an inch of room anyways. So
I'm 6'3" on a good day with shoes on.
Yeah.
And my feet don't touch. We've said this before, but one of the problems with the tents, if they're too short, is your feet or your head touching, and then getting your sleeping bag or top quilt or head wet or something. And then it loses. The problem is losing insulation value with a damp foot box.
Yeah.
A lot of sleeping bag companies actually do like DWR treated down, which I have no idea what that stands for, but basically it helps it stay a little bit more water repellent. So it doesn't soak up all that water and lose the loft, but a lot of companies will use that down and like treat the foot box, especially maybe even a coating on the outside.
Stoned Ape Adventure says Stoned Ape. That's great. Dyneema has been used for backpacks for decades.
Well,
I did not know that.
Me either.
That's interesting. So Dyneema has been around for a while. I do know. I can't say too much because I was given actually some confidential information about some fabric that's coming out from the people that do Ultra.
Uh-huh.
And it's possibly tentable in the near future.
Who's the people that do Ultra? What is it?
That is what's the name of it? It's now that you ask, I can't tell you. I can find out real fast.
It's okay if it's confidential, man.
I could tell you the name of the company. That's not confidential.
I need your source.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not telling you my source.
I need your inside source.
I can't tell you my source, but what I can say is I have seen some versions of this Ultra fabric, that's been coming out, and it is pretty stinking cool, man. It's pretty stinking cool. There's some really cool stuff getting ready to come out, and if I wasn't sworn to secrecy, I would say more, but I do want to give hope to people who are looking for something new. There's something new on the horizon.
There's always something new, man. Yep. I wonder if...
Okay, and somebody, real quick, Off-Grid said, what about an EcoPack tent? EcoPack and Ultra are the same company. Challenge Sailcloth, that's the name of the company. Challenge Sailcloth. They make EcoPack and Ultra, so it's all part of the same family. I actually did a video about it, so if you want to plug one of my videos, I did a whole video about about it. Challenge Sailcloth does an incredible job with their stuff right now. EcoPack is a really cool fabric.
Let me ask you a question about EcoPack.
Yeah.
How loud is that EcoPack, man? Is that made of like Lay's potato chips bags or not?
No. It's the stuff that people are using right now, it's not loud at all, really.
Oh, really?
It's not like Dyneema as far as the noise. No, it's the way it's made is a little different. I think it feels a little softer. I need to convince one of my backpack friends that makes backpacks to make me an ultra backpack for science.
For science, so you can do a testing video like Miyagi did?
Oh, I don't know. I actually want to keep it and use it all the time, but Miyagi did it, destroyed it, and sent it back. here's a good one too. The Osmo fabric that Nemo's using. Have you heard of this?
Nemo's Osmo fabric. No.
It's a really cool fabric too. It's water. It's water resistant, like really heavily. Nothing, if anybody's asking, nothing is truly waterproof. Like truly waterproof. Eventually it becomes not waterproof. Everything is like that eventually. But the new Osmo fabric, it's kind of like a poly fabric, and it doesn't stretch. So like when you know how a lot of times with your Sil poly tents and your Sil nylon tents, mm-hmm. they just stretch.
Yeah, you kind of got to, if you set them up before you go to bed, you have to like tighten out where it's staked down at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because as it gets wetter, it gets more and more loose. But the Osmo fabric doesn't do that. At least that's the claim. So Girl Plus Dog Adventures, you have one of those tents. I know I've seen your video on it. Does it live up to what it says? I'm curious about that because I would love to get my hands on some of that fabric or at least a tent made of that just to see what it's like. But yeah. Is Light AF making Ultra Packs? Yes, they are. They are.
Man, Nemo, I want to work with them so bad. I love their stuff, dude. And I think that Justin, he was having some problems, and he's not the only one with their Nemo tensor pad. Like, I don't know if there's a seal. Like, you know, if you get a hole around the place where you blow up your sleeping pad, that's like worst case scenario.
Yep.
You know, or like a seam. Yep. That's so hard to repair, and it's like bound to fail. That's one of the weakest points of the entire piece. But I haven't had any problems with mine, and I guess maybe I haven't used it enough to see the problems. I don't know how many trips that they took theirs on, but I've been using mine now for at least a year, and literally every single time that I tent camp or tent backpack, I'm using that thing. But yeah. When I say disco, I'm talking about
the sleeping bag. Yeah,
not actual disco.
Yeah. Although I've seen you disco dance. It's pretty impressive.
Well, thank you. So their Nemo Disco 15-degree bag, I use that the entire long trail, and it done perfect. And it's spoon-shaped, so you got a little extra room in there. But I will say, one of the problems with the spoon-shaped sleeping bags, you know, some people like them because they feel kind of claustrophobic zipped up in a bag.
Right.
But sometimes you get a little dead space in there and you haven't moved and you wake up and you move your leg over and there's a cold spot because there's so much extra room in there.
It kind of scares you a little bit.
It's the worst, man, because you're trying to stay warm.
Yeah. Well, I want to hit some things. James Hooper's on here. He said EcoPack does make ultra, but not all EcoPack is ultra. Ultra is lighter weight than EcoPack. Yeah. Basically, I compare ultra and EcoPack to XPack and Dyneema. That's kind of the best way to compare the two. They're still made by the same company. It's like he said the EcoPack isn't quite as waterproof and not quite as lightweight as ultra, but the regular EcoPack is more durable and the EcoPack is way less expensive, which is true. So good stuff there by James. Somebody down here says I have a Disco 15 and I love it.
Yeah, I bought my wife the Cosmo. It's a different brand, though, and I kind of wish that I had just spent the extra money and got her, like, one of those Nemo bags. Yeah. I think that they're better, but they cost more. At the time, I think that bag was, like, $325 retail.
Well, here's a question. Maybe somebody who's on here right now can help me. my plan this year was to get a Loco Libre quilt, a 60-degree Loco Libre quilt. And why 60 degrees? Because I live in Kentucky. And in the summer, most days it doesn't even get down below 70. And so a 50-degree or colder sleeping bag is just too hot. And I find myself a lot of times just overheating. But then I'll get cold and I have to pull it back over top me, and I'm fighting with it the whole night. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get a 60-degree quilt, top quilt. And Loco Libre right now, their owner had some health issues. And so right now they're not making any new stuff, so I can't order the one I wanted from them. I contacted Enlighten Equipment. They only do 50 degrees, and they said they can't do 60. Does anybody know of a 60-degree top quilt?
This man can't do the 50-degree.
I don't want 50. I want 60. I'm a very specific human being. So the Aegis Max, I hate the Aegis Max. I've got one laying here on the floor, and if anybody wants it, I will sell it to you for $50.
What? Did you ever make a video saying you liked it?
No. I didn't mention it. I mentioned it as an option. And honestly, most of the people I know who like it love it.
That's a loophole, bro.
I hate it. Here's the problem. I don't like it as a quilt.
Yeah, well, it's got a zipper on it.
Yeah, I don't like it as a quilt. It's uncomfortable. And for me, I don't like my feet being like shoved together. And it's got a really small foot box. Mm-hmm. So I used it a couple times as a sleeping bag, and I didn't mind it in a tent. But when I tried to use it as a quilt, it was worthless to me. So
let's be honest. That is an Amazon.
It's $80.
Made in China. I think they're like 105 now.
Yeah, it weighs 12 ounces. If anybody wants a 12-ounce, 60-degree, 50-degree sleeping bag, I'll sell it to you for $50.
This is the first time I have seen John literally like aggressively looking to sell some of his gear. You must really not like.
I'm buying a house this fall.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, we're wanting to buy a house this fall. So I'm selling a lot of gear. So. And I got a lot of gear. So if anybody's like on here and you want to send me a message later, say, hey, what do you have? I'm your hookup.
Get that man up. DM.
Definitely below retail. So I'm kidding. I mean, I am, but I'm not kidding either.
You know, I use the my 40 degree under on this trip over the weekend. Last weekend, you're talking about the weather and all that.
Yeah, is that the UGQ? Yeah.
UGQ, and I use the Western Mountaineering 27-degree.
Oh, you had to be burning up.
No, dude, the top part of me was so warm, but you know what I forgot to do? I've set up my underquilt, and UGQ, the way that they do their underquilts, you hook it on each end, but then there's several adjustments that you can make. And to dial it in. And sometimes at the ends of my trip, I will like just unloosen the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Or anyway, you're making adjustments. Every trip's different. But the point is I didn't cinch up one of the draft collars. And so I didn't realize it until like, I bet it was like 5 a.m., man. I think it was like 5:18. I looked at my watch.
Your butt was freezing.
I was cold. Like I kept waking up and I was like, I'm a little bit cold. I don't know why I'm cold. Like, you know, it's not that cold down here. It's probably in the 50s. And my underquilt, I've used it in colder temps than that. Yeah. And that's what it was. It's totally my fault, dude.
Oh, that stinks.
You got to dial that stuff in and you got to have it right.
So did I tell you what I'm thinking about experimenting with this summer?
No.
Cause you know, there's some nights it doesn't get below 80 at night.
God,
in Kentucky. What I'm talking about?
I had to go to the lake kind of.
Those are the July, August, early September.
That's tough.
Dates. And those are rough. I'm experimenting with something this year with the hammock.
Well, are you taking a fan?
No. I'm just, instead of using a quilt underneath it, I'm going to just use the quilt protector.
Oh.
Just to keep, if it happens to dip a little bit in the temperature.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a windbreaker more than anything else.
I wonder if that'll make
you sweat. And if it rains, I don't have to worry about my hammock getting wet.
You think that'll make you sweat more?
I don't know.
So
I said I'm gonna experiment with it. I don't know if it'll be good idea or bad idea. Okay, so I'm getting some things on here. Let's see. Doc has a 70-degree bag.
What does that even mean?
It means it's super light. I'll tell you that. That's one of the reasons I want a 60 also. I want a sub 1 pound. I want to be ultra lightweight in the summer because, like,
oh, for sure.
Climbing hills in the summer is not fun when it's hot. So that's awesome. 70-degree bag. Let's see. Hit up Cedar Ridge. You know, I need to check out Cedar Ridge. It says they do a lot of custom orders. That might be one to check out. Let's see. Appalachian sleeping. A few people have been saying sleeping bag liners. The problem is for me, I don't like my feet being caught up inside of something. I like to be able to kick my feet out if they get a little hot. And so if I'm in a liner, I'd have to take the whole thing off to get my foot out. And I'm not crazy about that. Let's see. Any other stuff in here? Wow. Good deal. Hit me up.
Yeah, see. I saw something.
What's that?
A rusty.
Do you guys have any tips for taller guys and getting your pillow higher off the floor of the tent? Show my shoes under it, but it's never enough. That's interesting. Yeah, because I would say if you're taller, your all dimensions as a whole are probably bigger. So you're going to need a bigger tent. Or no. a bigger pillow, I mean.
Yeah. So here's what I would do. First of all, if you're using a sleeping bag, sometimes you can get sleeping bags that have the little pouch to put your pillow in. So you could put one pillow in there, and a lot of people, what they do to help get their head a little taller is they'll stick anything extra. I usually use my backpack, stick that under your head end. My wife, I told her to do that on one of her, I don't know, last two or three trips, and it was a game changer for her. She was like, this is much better. But I would suggest take your puffy jacket. If you're not going to sleep in it, then take it and zip it up. If it has a hood, roll everything into the hood. And that's an extra pillow if you don't want to bring two. But if you want to bring two, then problem solved. Just bring two pillows.
That's a great idea. And, you know, and I would say, too, that if you get those, what are they, the Therm-a-Rest ones that are the foam ones?
Yeah.
Compress just a little bit.
Yeah.
Those are way better for taller, bigger guys, too, because they can puff up a little bit bigger.
Yeah, they are. You can get whatever size you want, but I got a large, I think.
Yeah, I've got a medium one.
It's still big.
It's better for tent. I think it's better for tent camping than it is for hammock camping.
Yeah,
because too big of a pillow in a hammock, and you feel like your neck is like going to be bent off or something.
It's too much.
Yeah. Okay. Pennsylvania Camp and Canoe. George from Loco Libre made a post on hammock forums. His health is much better. He expects to be back up to full speed soon. Yeah, I've actually been chatting with him a little bit. Really nice guy, like super, super nice guy. Glad I got a chance to chat back and forth with him a little bit. Have you seen Loco Libre before, Jeremiah?
Heard of the company, but I think only from you talking about it.
But you got to check them out, man. They got some really cool stuff, and they do some cool custom stuff with their quilts. Like they'll customize not only the fabric on the inside and the outside, but the stitching color.
Man, I always wonder how profitable that is. Because when everything's custom, you either got to charge more or take a loss.
Well, here's the thing. His stuff is, compared to some of the other companies, it's pretty inexpensive.
Okay.
It's really, really impressive. Hey, check this out. Thank you, Off Grid, for the gift. What is Jeremiah's summer base weight with the Duplex L? Under 30 pounds? Laughing face. Stash time trials were awesome. Vid coming soon. What is your base weight typically, man?
I'll answer that. On this last trip, right before I headed out on the trail, I had my backpack sitting on the tailgate, and I had my fish scale in hand, fully loaded, water, everything. And it was 30 pounds on the dot. That was with food. That was with food for Friday evening, Saturday all day, Sunday morning. And that was also, I probably had 2 liters, maybe a little bit more of liquids, whether it was a Gatorade bottle or water I was taking with me or whatever. So, but I think my lightest summer base weight, and I don't remember the tent I took, but it was probably my Lunar Solo. So it was a little bit heavier. And that was with Hunter. We were talking to Hunter last week. I think that it was right at 17 pounds with the water and everything, but I may be misquoting myself.
That's actually not bad, man.
No, 17 pounds of water and everything, that is like amazing for me, dude.
That's incredible.
That's with a chair.
Yeah, that's incredible. Huck said the XBed Pillow XL is the tallest pillow you can get. You might want to check that out, man.
The XBed
Pillow XL.
I never have tried any of the XBed stuff.
I don't think I have either. Okay, I do want to say something, though. We were talking earlier about the Nemo Tensor.
Uh-huh.
Dude, I think I am no longer a Nemo Tensor person.
What'd you move on to?
The Sea to Summit. Like, they're, the Sea to Summit. Hold up. I've got it right here.
Oh, he's actually going to whip out the Sea to Summit pad.
No, I'm not going to pull it out. I'm just going to, I'm terrible with names today, man. The Etherlight XT.
Now, does that have the vertical baffles?
Yes.
Because I've heard some people, their arms.
Oh, no, not vertical. No. It's horizontal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just can't. I just don't think I can do the.
It's 4 inches thick.
4 inches thick.
Yeah.
That sounds comfortable.
It's extremely. And it's not loud.
And like, what's the R value?
It's about the same as the Nemo Tensor.
Okay. I don't know what I have the Alpine version, so I think it's a little higher. But
well, I've got the deep winter version of that, and it's like this big around, and like it's like got a 6.5 R rating or something like that.
That's what I want. I want in the sixes.
You want that in the summer?
Not in the summer.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say like that's crazy.
Somebody said earlier. Let's see. I don't remember who it was, but they were saying that. Here it is. Mike K says bug bites could be an issue without a bottom quilt in the summertime.
And that's why I want to put on the quilt protector.
I am so curious to see.
I want to see if it works. I've not heard of anybody else doing it, and I'm going to try it. And hopefully if it doesn't make me sweat like a crazy person, then maybe a good option.
Also, before we go, we didn't get any poop talk in, so I will mention I won the game this weekend. I won the game.
So you didn't poop the entire weekend. So how bad was it when you got home?
It's usually not too bad. I think that might have doubled up the next day though.
I can't imagine you didn't. Like,
well, I didn't eat that much actually out there. I had one of those Pinnacle Foods, and I got to tell you, Pinnacle Foods, I like the stuff, but I think the directions on the water, I've eaten at least three that I've added too much water. Now that may be my fault. Okay. But I was going to say
I've had three or four of them, and dude, I think it's perfect.
I think I'm a cereal overwaterer. I don't know what it is.
I love their bags.
Oh, yeah.
Wide, shallow bags?
Yes.
I love that. Because one of my things is I don't like cutting the top off a bag because then I can't close it.
Right.
And so if I want to set it down and leave it for a while, maybe come back and eat a little. Like, we start talking about something, I set it down, I want to be able to open it back up and start eating again. If I cut it off, I'm going to get dirt in it or something, and I'm going to be mad at myself.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But all I had was that for dinner. Because I got there after work, 5:30, 6 o'clock, had that for dinner. And then the next day, I had two packets of oatmeal. Not those ones that form a little bowl either. I still need to buy some of those. And then I skipped lunch. So I really hadn't had that much to eat.
Did you just snack on your hike?
I snacked. I had some of those Nature Valley bars. I love the salted caramel. Oh, they're so good. But they melt a little bit. The bottom has like a caramel coating. It melts. Summertime, it's not good.
Well, I'm doing keto again because I came off of it and it was dumb again, and gained some weight back on it again. So I'm going out this weekend straight keto the whole weekend, and I found a lifesaver today.
What'd you find?
At the Walgreens just down the street from my house, they have an entire Walgreens. They have an entire sugar-free candy section.
Oh, what'd you get?
I got zero net carb gummy bears.
You know,
dude,
you know,
here's the thing. When you don't get to eat candy for like two solid years, I didn't eat a piece of candy.
God, you poor soul.
Being able to find zero net carb gummy bears that I can eat on trail, it's pretty awesome.
You know who else loves sugar-free candy?
Who's that?
My grandma.
Oh, your grandma's a sweetheart. I don't even know her, but I like her more now.
She's diabetic. So she
Well, I'm not diabetic.
She's diabetic, so we'd always have to buy her that sugar-free chocolate. Ah, she loved that stuff.
Hey, check this out. Joshua Hostetter, longtime listener, first-time live stream joiner. Y'all rock. Thanks, man.
What's up, Joshua?
Good to have you on here, man. Real quick, just a couple more things down through here. George at Local Libre is awesome. Actually, I haven't met a cottage vendor that wasn't great. He hooked me up years ago with a fantastic underquilt, and I've been waiting for them to reopen so I can buy more gear from him. Yeah, I've been eyeing stuff from him for a year and a half and just hadn't bought it yet. And now it's like, I'm going to pull the trigger as soon as I can. I'm definitely going to.
I'll check out. Be real careful. For sure.
Oh, and I figured out something with food that I'm going to start doing this year.
What's that?
So if you go on Amazon, you can buy these cans of like freeze-dried ground beef, shredded pork, chicken, stuff like that, that you buy. It's all freeze-dried. Uh-huh. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a few of those. I'm going to portion them out and put them in the freezer. And then I'm going to buy freeze-dried like the vegetables and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to look up some recipes for food, and I'm actually going to combine them right before I go, make spice packs that I can throw in with them, and just do my own meals. It's going to be probably half the cost of buying it from other backpacking places.
That's a good idea. You going to vacuum seal the freeze-dried meals?
Well, I won't have to. I did order a bunch of the heavy-duty Ziploc bags, the ones that are like really nice.
Uh-huh.
So that I could use those. But I'm just going to freeze it all. I'm not going to have to vacuum seal it if I put it in the freezer. It's sort of been freeze dried. So, I'm just going to stick it in the freezer. And then as I need it, I'll pull out what I need as I knock my mic over, and do that.
I think I'm going to buy a dehydrator, man. I love beef jerky, and I know some people get their own cuts at the store and then they'll dehydrate it themselves because it's so expensive, dude. It's like $10 for 3 ounces. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But I think that I'm going to try doing some dehydrated stuff.
Well, let me know. Do you have a dehydrator?
No, I guess I just buy one at Walmart.
Bro, let me know, and I'll give you some recipes.
Yes, I would love that.
I'll hook you up with some recipes. I've done a lot of it. I don't always talk about it because sometimes it doesn't turn out so hot. But some of it turns out really good. So,
give me the good recipes, man.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm starting to question myself on these gummy bears now. Someone goes, "Watch out for the sugar-free candy. Some of it can be explosive." I had that issue by eating a bag of gummy bears. A lot of those sugar-free is with maltitol, something like that. It can be terrible for your digestion, so make sure you test it out before trail. Oh man,
that's some stuff
there. I may have to be careful, dude.
Now that means you got to try it tonight. You got to eat the whole bag tonight. You don't.
Yeah,
have
and to she even food. She even says, "Haha, same." When I was on keto, I thought I hit the jackpot with those. Okay, maybe we're gonna get a new poop story for me. You might. I may just have to hold off on that.
Save them for the trail. Let's see if it makes a poop.
I'm not gonna save them for the trail if that's a possibility.
Save them for the trail. See if it. That could be a good story, man.
Yeah, trailheads. I might check out with trailheads about that quilt. That's a good idea. Thank you, Trips. Anyways. We could probably go all night, but now they're like going, JK must now eat some gummy bears.
Yeah.
Man, everybody's talking about it now. Look at this.
Look at that. Yes, sugar-free candy will definitely even give you the farts. Haha. I've been keto for like 3 years.
3 years. Wow, yeah. Dang, man. Anyways. It is well over our time, and you're a teacher, and you got to get up really early in the morning. And I want to respect you, Jeremiah.
Thank you. I've had a great time. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Andrew. How do you say Andrew's last name, John?
It's like Sakari to me.
He says, "Have either of you ever bear bagged your wag bags, and do you suggest it?"
Never used a wag bag.
I haven't, but I did hang my food, and it was the easiest and most perfect hang that I've ever had since I've started backpacking. The one toss all the way over, used Hilltop Pax's little bear, like their bear hanging kit, except I lost the stuff sack. I lost it in the woods somewhere. Have my face on it and everything. Now I'm just using a little pillow stuff sack, but perfect hang about 25 yards from my hammock. So not so perfect. But you know, Andrew, I wish that I could tell you more about the wag bags. I'd say your poop's up probably okay. What do you think, John?
Oh yeah, put it up there. Then tell us how it goes. I'm no, curious.
Don't put it in your food bag.
Don't put it in your food bag. No. Oh.
But thank you so much for the super chat.
Really, but you could clip it next to your food bag, couldn't you?
Yeah, or you could just put it in your food bag.
Let's not do that.
That's what I'm saying. Probably not in.
Let's not put it in the food bag. We could clip it next to the food bag.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
That sounds like it could work. Either way, Jeremiah, it's been fun talking, man.
Oh, dude, I've had such a good time with you, man.
You know, I was talking to Mr. Backpacking with Jason Sir, and I really think that it would be a good thing if the three of us made our way somewhere to hike for 4 or 5 days.
Let's make it happen, man.
I think it needs to.
Next month's my last month of school.
We're counting down the days. Me and Jason are. We've already started the countdown.
I am too. I'm at 19 days.
Well, when you're off, man, we're going out for sure. No doubt about it.
Let's do it.
All right, bro. We will talk to you later. As for myself and Jeremiah, you guys have a great one. We'll catch you on the next go-round.
Yeah. Adios, folks.